Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Discussing Doodles,
your favourite animation-based podcast,
where we discuss a different animated film from a different animation studio each week.
Warning, there will be spoilers ahead.
So if you've yet to see this movie and you don't want spoilers,
stop listening now.
One more thing, we don't watch our language.
Though we talk about family movies, this isn't a family podcast. You have been warned.
Again.
Hello.
Wagwan. Never say that before. Never saying it again.
Yeah.
Hiya.
Welcome back to Discussing Doodles. I am Mark.
I am Luke.
And
we're your hosts.
We are.
It's series 7.
7.
Brand new, never before seen.
Yeah. It's we've done the show 2 years now.
Wow.
100 movies almost.
Almost.
Supposed to have been 100 movies. I feel like it's a new era for Discussing Doodles now.
Yeah, we're leaping into the next 100.
Leaping into the next 100, it's like a
200 countdown coming your way.
Yeah, God. Imagine once we've done it for 6 years and it's like a 300 movie countdown.
Maybe we'll just do another 100.
Yes, we'll just do the top 100 again.
Yeah.
And then we could do the bottom 100.
The worst. The worst ones going.
So, there aren't going to be big changes to the format of Discussing Doodles.
No.
Because we kind of like the way it goes.
We're also too lazy to come up with anything too new.
Yeah. But what we do want is we want you to get involved a little bit more. So, there are a few opinions that we will have throughout for each different category. And we're going to talk about what our favourite things are within those categories. And we want to hear what your favourite things are in those categories too, if you have seen this movie.
Hell yeah! Most people would have seen this one, I think.
Yeah. It's the start of a new series. And how do we start a new series?
With a Disney movie.
Always.
Always.
And it's Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. I've been waiting for this one.
Walt Disney had been waiting
True
for this
had,
one.
Hasn't he? Yeah.
Right? It was a long time coming. 1953, it was, I mean, remember we're missing out the package movies from the war era.
Of course.
So excluding package movies, so as an actual linear story.
Because.
It was the seventh Disney movie in that respect.
Yes, yeah.
But it wasn't, it was more like the 16th or something.
Yeah. I think. But it's the seventh one we're doing. Seven Disney films we've done.
He had to wait a long time.
Feels like favourite.
Peter Pan, when we were growing up, was always one of your favourites.
Yes.
Is it still?
Yes. Peter Pan, outside of the Disney version, Peter Pan is top 3 favourite fictional stories of all time.
Okay.
So, huge fan of
Pan.
Peter Pan and Neverland and the whole thing. And the Disney version is up there as one of the favourites.
Mm.
And I think it is for most people. I know we're not there yet, that's because we just started, but I think a legacy point would have to go to the fact that I think if you question majority of the public to think of a Peter Pan, they will think of this one.
If you said to anybody in the public, picture Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
They're going to picture this Tinkerbell.
They are. 100%.
I think 99 out of 100 people will picture this Tinkerbell. Yeah.
And to me, that's like, as much as I love it outside of Disney, there's many versions that I love. I think there's something so iconic about the Disney version.
Mm.
And it is iconic in the minds of everybody, I think.
Yeah.
People think, like you say, if someone says picture Tinkerbell, everyone will picture this Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Everyone.
She is iconic.
She is, isn't she?
Yeah.
Hugely.
Big time. This movie, before we sort of jump into it, it's one of the old Disney movies that comes with a warning at the start of the movie when you watch it on Disney Plus.
It is.
And that is because some of the views expressed in the movie or some of the jokes made aren't really appropriate.
Yeah.
These days.
No.
So, elephant in the room. We are going to talk about those scenes because they are part of the movie.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where okay, yeah, maybe they do make you a little bit uncomfortable today, but we've come a long way since 1953, and I think that's the point, right?
Yeah, I think there's... Well, I think the... what's the word? The disclaimer that came up beforehand worded it really nicely, actually, because you and me had a moment where we thought that Disney Plus had cut this. And I think they have if your age settings are low. No, I think if kids watch it, those scenes aren't in it. Mm. But the disclaimer sort of did a thing of using it as a talking point. It's quite good in some ways to see how far we have come.
Yeah.
And that a movie today wouldn't have that in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of...
Or would have a fairer representation of those people.
Yes, it's nice to have... To see the progression instead of pretending it didn't exist.
Yes.
In a weird roundabout way. Because I know it also would be nice to think it didn't exist. Yeah. So it's like a weird one. But yeah, it's nice to see how far we've come.
Yeah. It is a funny thing. And we'll get into more detail when we get to talking about the things that were cut.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was a kid, I'm talking within the last 30 years.
Yeah.
We used to say, I'm playing cowboys and Indians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that kind of language existed up until my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was still there within my lifetime.
Yeah.
If you think about when J.M. Barrie wrote the book, when did he write the book?
It must have been in the... Oh, I might have it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your kind of thing.
Hold on.
But I'm envisaging that it was probably sort of...
1904.
So turn of the century. And you think that the Old West, the Wild West, was the Victorian era, basically, but in America.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that cowboys were fighting Native Americans.
Yep.
15, 20 years before he wrote this.
Yeah.
So it was really recent history.
Yeah.
Like, literally... Was probably actually still happening.
Yes, at that point. I'm sure it was.
Right? And at that point, they did refer to them the way that he refers to them, as savages.
Yes.
As Indians. So J.M. Barrie is just writing what he knew.
Yeah.
He wasn't being outwardly racist. It's just
what it was at that time. For who he was and where he was. Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to think about how old the story is.
Yeah, I know.
That Disney maybe should have taken responsibility to change that. They chose not to.
They chose not to. So,
And that's maybe where the...
I think that is where the issue lies. But yeah.
Especially, yeah. Also the other thing for J.M. Barrie is he was Scottish. So he lived on the other side of the ocean from those conflicts.
True.
So he just heard stories about it.
Yeah, so for him it was a faraway fantastical thing almost as well.
So the Native Americans to a Scottish person would have been... Almost like the mermaids fiction
that he puts in. Yeah,
exactly. He wasn't making it based on real people. They were almost like mythical beings.
Yeah,
there is that
element from his viewpoint. Yeah.
Whereas then on the flip side, Disney being an American corporation who probably had Native Americans that lived just down the street.
Yeah.
They should have and could have maybe been a bit more sensitive towards it.
Yeah. But because there's an entire musical number that's not. The best.
No.
In terms of its representation.
Message, yeah. Unfortunately,
and also
musically, it is the best.
Oh, it's a good... It's like... Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, the drum beats, the melody. Yeah. It probably, like, excluding the what it's about, it might be the best song in the film.
But, yeah, it's not the best message. And then there are some lines as well that are quite, like, wincy, aren't there?
Yeah, big time.
Like, proper... cringe.
But
outside of that, very good movie.
That's the thing, it doesn't take away from the fact that it is a really good film.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so should we talk about the story?
Should we deep dive?
Yeah, let's go, let's jump in.
Perfect. So...
Oh, hang on.
Oh.
New season, but not everything's changed.
Do people actually like that, or do you and me like it?
We like it.
I've never... No one has ever, ever tweeted, love the can. Love the can thing.
They'll be like, can it?
Can it, Mark? Throw it out in the bin. But I like it.
I like it too. It's like... It... No, okay. It feels like we transition into the start when the can's opened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, when they say action and they slam down the thing.
Yeah.
Peter Pan is a 19... Peter Pan is a 1953 American animated adventure fantasy film.
Nice.
Based on the 1904 play Peter Pan or The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up by James Matthew Barry.
Matthew. Yes. I just never knew it was Matthew. I knew it was James.
James. Disney wanted to do this in 1935. As second film after Snow White, mm-hmm. as we have mentioned. Disney was also waiting for this film as much as I was.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's wanted to do it since the 1930s, and it didn't come around until 1950s.
20 years he
had
to wait.
That's a big wait.
That's a bit longer than you've had to wait to do on Discussing Doodles.
Just a little bit. But yeah, apparently the live-action movie rights belonged to Paramount Studios.
Right.
And in 1939, Disney got the animation rights.
Right.
So, yeah, right.
Right.
So, I, like, never really knew that you could split a story by live-action rights and animation rights. I don't know if that still stands or whether that was an old thing.
I guess it makes sense. But that's,
like, sort of felt like new news to me.
Because all the Peter Pan live-action Peter Pans I've ever seen have had nothing to do with Disney.
Yeah. Oh, you wait. Till I get onto Legacy.
Oh, right, yeah, well, apart from the one that's coming up. Yeah.
I really don't want it.
Do you not?
No, there's someone in it that I don't want.
Oh, yeah, no, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh, I don't want to watch it, I'd rather die. they initially planned... Oh, this is actually once Peter Pan... They got Peter Pan and they were planning it and they started doing it. They initially planned to open with Peter Pan's backstory. Which I think out of all the versions I know is touched on the most in like Hook. Hook has a full on flashbacky moment.
Well, also Pan.
Oh, Pan as well.
Pan basically is the backstory.
That's true, it is the backstory, yeah. Isn't it? I forget about that film.
Yeah, me too. It wasn't that great.
No. But yeah, Walt Disney wanted to cut it because he wanted to get straight to the story of Peter going into the house in search of his shadow.
Mm.
Which is where you would start. Let's not lie.
Yeah,
it was the right decision. Yeah. You don't start with that much backstory. Kids will switch off. But yeah, there was a moment in their planning stages where they decided that Peter was going to... I don't know why I'm laughing because it's horrible. Peter was going to kidnap Wendy to be the mother of the Lost Boys. But they decided that was too dark for their... lead character.
And, he does that, but he does it with charm.
And they went with him looking for a shadow more so and sort of inviting them, which is how it goes in the play.
Mm.
But for some reason, they had a momentary moment of kidnap.
Yeah.
Jack Kinney, or Kiney, I'm really sorry if I'm butchering the name, became the director of the film after a 2.5-hour storyboard meeting. That's crazy.
Mm.
But this would kill me if I was Jack, right? After the 2.5-hour storyboard meeting for Peter Pan, Walt Disney sat there and said, you know, I've been thinking about Cinderella. I would cry if I did a 2.5-hour presentation of Peter Pan and the big boss was like, Cinderella, mate.
The thing about this one, Walt wanted to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care so much about Cinderella.
No, he obviously...
Or Alice in Wonderland.
I don't think he enjoyed the storyboard that much, which is probably why he was like,
let's Cinderella. Until we got something better.
Cinderella. Yeah. But like, oh my God, I think I'd cry if I did a 2.5-hour presentation. But yeah, the beginning of the story went through loads of changes. I've already mentioned some, that they were planning on backstories and kidnaps. But they also had, which is apparently the version in the play, which I didn't realise, where Mrs. Darling finds the shadow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she, like, shows Mr. Darling and everything.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a version I'm going to go with. There was a version where Nana was going to go to Neverland and the audience would see it through her eyes.
We talked about this.
And we discussed that when we watched it. Because she gets a
sprinkled
bit
on her bum.
Her bum gets pixie dust did.
Yeah.
And she floats up.
That sounds like the worst euphemism ever.
I'm gonna pixie dust your bum.
Oh, fuck. And she flies.
She does.
But she's chained to the kennel, so she doesn't get... Chained, roped, so she doesn't get very far. She hangs herself. John. And then there was one where John was going to be left behind because they found him boring.
Okay.
And they were like, we'll leave him behind. But I think somebody, I can't remember who now, my research wasn't as good as it should have been. Somebody fought and said that he's actually quite funny and fun.
Mm.
And that, like, I think he's good to, like, animate. He's good to, like, have, like, with his top hat and his umbrella. And,
yeah,
like,
it's also...
He has elements.
Creates a different dynamic. Because he's quite different to Michael and Wendy.
Yeah. But also, like, a headache for yourself. How do you explain one out of three siblings staying?
Yeah.
Like, just make them all go. So much easier for yourself. Why would you do that? Yeah, and then there were some bits that were cut from the final film where... Because they were a bit too dark on line with the kidnapping. Mm. There was going to be a scene where Mr. and Mrs. Darling were mourning their lost children. But I guess they changed it and made it that when they came home, the kids were already home.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Yeah, because in the sort of live action versions that we've seen since...
There is some where they wait around. Yeah. They leave the window open, don't they, for them? For like
Mrs. Darling
days.
Sits at the window for days, yeah.
Captain Hook was going to be killed by the crocodile, but they decided that was too dark.
Mm.
So he's just sort of chased away.
Yes.
Spoilers. but yeah, we haven't really explained the story of Peter Pan, but I feel like everybody knows it, right? Boy doesn't grow up, takes the darling kids with him to Neverland.
Mm.
Shit goes down.
Yeah.
Like, all sorts of shit goes down.
I quote Peter Pan a lot.
Do you?
Not the Disney version. The actual play version.
Which one?
Which quote? I say it a lot at work because they always tell me that I still act like a child sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you can't catch me and make me a man. I want always to be a boy and have fun.
Cute.
Yeah. Cute. And I also like, my other favourite quote is, girls are much too clever to fall out of their prams.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's why it's, there aren't any lost girls.
Yeah.
There's only lost boys.
Just lost boys because they're fucking stupid.
They're dumb.
Yeah. There's many a backstory I would enjoy about Neverland, though.
Oh, Neverland is so interesting because, like...
Why are there some adults, though?
So they must have arrived as adults. Yeah.
But where? I want to know why.
Captain Hook must have been an actual pirate on the Seven Seas.
Yeah.
Who...
somehow went to the second star to the right and straight on till morning.
Yeah.
I want to see the
story.
Could
have fallen through like a wormhole.
A whirlpool.
Whirlpool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could have been like Cardiff.
Yeah, a riff in time
A riff in time and space.
And then, like, I'm guessing things like the mermaids are native to Neverland, or did they find it too?
Yeah, and the same about answers. The same with the Indians.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to call them Indians because...
That's what they're called in the story.
That's what they're called in the story, but also they don't live in America, so calling them Native Americans would be weird because they live in
Neverland.
Yes, but the
question, are they native to Neverland?
Native Neverlandians. Maybe they are.
Is that what they would be called?
I don't know.
Me neither. There's so many questions with Neverland. I find it very, very interesting. I'd like to know more.
Somebody call up Jay and Barry.
Come on, James. Pick up your phone.
Okay, so here's the part where we want you to get involved. Please tweet us at Disc Doodles and let us know what your favourite part of the story or favourite scene in Peter Pan is.
Whoa.
Luke, do you have one?
I have shout-outs and then I have my one.
Okay.
Okay. I love any scene that involves Captain Hook and Mr. Smee.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're scene stealers.
Okay.
Mr. Smee in particular, there's a bit where... it's after, you know, that whole scene at Skull Rock where Captain Hook has Tiger Lily,
mm-hmm.
Peter Pan imitates his voice, and there's a whole fight and the shebang, and the crocodile shows up and everything. That in itself,
great
wonderful scene.
Yeah.
scene afterwards where Captain Hook has like a headache and his feet's in like boiling water.
Yeah.
And Mr. Smee's like slamming in a sign that says do not disturb. And Captain Hook hates the noise, so he opens the door and Mr. Smee hammers his head. It's just little shit like that makes me laugh. And then Mr. Smee like trips through the doorway. It's just little shitty things like that.
And he pours like boiling hot water into
boiling hot water onto his bare feet. It's that sort of thing that really makes me laugh because I clearly have a child sense of humour. So I want to shout out any of those sort of scenes. But I think, weirdly enough, my favourite scene is the very, very last one.
Okay.
When George, Mr. Darling, looks up at the sky and recognises the, like, pirate ship and stuff.
There's another story there as well.
There's more backstories that we need. But that... It's like a goosebumpy, almost tears in your eyes kind of like moment.
Yes, it was. I did get goosebumps.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's sad that it's literally right at the very end. I didn't like the film ending, but I liked the film's ending.
Nice. You? I didn't like the film ending, but I liked the film's ending.
Yeah.
Good. For me, on the exact flip side to you. So there are obviously some musical numbers in this that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But my favourite scene is actually the setup at the start. The children in the nursery, and Pan first coming through and looking for his shadow, and Tinkerbell being a moody little bitch and getting stuck in the drawer.
Yeah, she does.
And all of that. That's my favourite scene because it's to me, it's one of the most iconic scenes.
And do you know what's lovely about it is it's long, and you don't get many long scenes in Disney films.
No, you don't.
Particularly these old ones. Walt Disney himself liked his snappy little like sketches almost, but the opening to Peter Pan, the scene in the nursery goes on for a long time.
It's almost like it is a scene ripped straight out of a play.
A play, yeah. It's so lovely.
Really,
I
nice.
Love it.
Really,
yeah.
Really nice. Yeah,
I do agree with you there. That's my favourite scene. Yeah. There's a lot, but I'm looking forward to hearing what your guys's are, so tweet us.
Make sure you do.
Thank you. Kind regards.
Luke.
Mark.
Do you have a score for story?
I do.
Okay. What is it?
I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay.
Mark, do you have a score for story?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okie dokie.
Let's talk about the characters then.
There's quite a few.
Mm.
They're lovely characters though,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Who have we got? Talk us through them.
We've got Peter Pan himself.
Really?
Yeah, okay. The boy who never grows up.
We're going to call him the boy who lived there.
The boy who lived. Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
She's the right sass pot.
She is.
Wendy. John and Michael,
mm-hmm.
with Mary and George. That's the parents, Mr. and Mrs. Darling. Nana, their dog.
Yeah. Nana, their dog.
I don't know why I broke that up so much. I spoke like a Dalek. Captain Hook and Mr. Smee.
Yeah.
Gay couple of the century. That was a rhyme. Someone could put that in a song and I'd
Captain
be
Hook and
it.
Mr. Spee. Spee.
Spee.
Captain Hook and Mr. Smee, gay couple of the century.
I'm here all week if someone wants it. The crocodile, that counts.
Yeah.
All the Lost Boys, you've got Slightly, Cubby, Nibs, Tootles and the Twins. I'm 100% sure Cubby doesn't exist in any other version of Peter Pan. I've never heard of Cubby.
Is he the big one?
Yeah.
I feel Cubby, like Chubby.
He's Disney invented.
Yeah.
Slightly, Nibs, Tootles and the Twins I've heard of.
Yes.
Cubby?
The Twins, is that their actual name?
I think so. Cubby?
No, I don't know if I've heard of a Cubby.
Mermaids, Tiger Lily, and the Chief, of course.
Yes.
They're like...
Oh!
He's hard.
That was
that good?
That was really good.
I didn't think I could do it. I don't know what he sound. I sound like a woman out of us, so I didn't think
you know
I
how Peter Pan...
How?
Just...
Imitates everybody
perfectly. That's a really great thing about cartoon is because you can get the voice actor to do it.
And
it
Why does he ask you how?
Oh, that was like a stab. Oh, I love it. Any more impressions?
Tinkerbell?
Done. Was that good?
Peter Pan's
quite difficult.
Yeah, he's got quite a distinctive little voice, isn't he?
Yeah, Bobby Driscoll.
Sad story.
Sadly passed away really young.
Mm.
I think it was drugs.
He He was found,
and his
wasn't
body
he?
Was just found, yeah. And he was like just buried somewhere.
He was buried in an unmarked grave and everything. Yeah.
Real sad.
Yeah, really tragic. Tragic.
He's Peter Pan.
He's Peter Pan. And he's not only Peter Pan's voice, he's Peter Pan's face too.
Yes, yeah.
That's Bobby Driscoll's face on that
cartoon.
It
actually is.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby Driscoll.
Yeah. Rip.
No, we can't laugh, Mark. You ruined everything. I'm so furious.
When did he die? Like the 60s? 50s, 60s.
I know, but that doesn't... Just because it was a while ago doesn't mean you can joke about it. That's naughty behaviour. Naughty boy. Do you know who I think is the unsung hero of this?
Mr. Smee.
No, Hans Conried, who's Captain Hook and Mr. Darling.
Right. And this is the thing.
Vocals.
Yeah.
They're so good.
But in every single version of...
Tradition to the play.
Peter Pan, which is a tradition to the play, Mr. Darling and...
You okay? You
I was
going to
say Mr. Hook and Captain Darling.
I want to see that version. That's a Peter Pan what if.
Mr. Hook
and children. Darling.
Wendy Hook. John Hook and Michael Hook.
Michael Hook sounds good.
They got to go and fight
Captain Darling. Captain Darling.
Who, ironically, would probably be less camp than Captain Hook.
Yeah, he probably would, actually, wouldn't he? Yeah. But no, Hans Conried, he's great.
Mm.
His voice does all sorts of shit in this film.
It's really
he's
good.
He's so good, and he never stops. It's, like, constant. From Mr. Darling through to Captain Hook. Because Mr. Darling has his moments when he's like, Wendy! Wendy! And then he, like, never stops when he, like, falls over and they all run to the dog and they're like, poor Nana. Yeah. And he's like, poor Nana. He says it about four times. Poor Nana.
Even when he's, like, dragging her outside, he's still saying it.
Poor Nana. He's so good. And then he just doesn't stop as Captain Hook. And Captain Hook is like... So many layers to him, because in some scenes he's genuinely quite scary, calm, collected, and in other scenes he's literally screaming out of fear.
Mm.
I think he's a little scene stealer of the film, this voice actor.
So,
he's great.
I'm going to ask you for your favourite character.
Mm.
There's not a lot of point.
No. There's not.
Go on then.
Captain Hook.
Captain Hook.
I'm a sucker for a Disney villain. And he is one of the iconic icons.
When we were
icons.
Kids, you used to dress up as Captain Hook a lot.
If it was socially acceptable, I still do it now.
He's it is so socially glamorous. Acceptable. What are you talking about?
Yeah, true. But I couldn't go to shops, Captain Hook.
No,
but
you could go to like a con.
Yeah, true. And I would. He's so glamorous.
Yeah,
which
he is.
Sounds so weird to say, but he's so like fabulous.
He dresses a bit like Harry Styles.
He does a bit.
Yeah.
And him when he's in his full head to toe look, he looks so good.
Yeah, he does look cool.
It's so good. And what I love. I mean, I'm a Disney villain fanatic. I think this has been apparent in episodes like Snow White and stuff that we've done before. It will become more apparent as we get. Through to the 80s and 90s, let me tell you. But what I think makes a good Disney villain design is the ones that are so recognisable from silhouette.
Mm.
I think Captain Hook has one of the very best
silhouettes.
Disney villain silhouettes.
Yeah.
You could just see him blacked out and you would know 100% who he is.
Yeah,
the design, everything, the voice... Obsessed.
Okay.
And he's homosexual. Okay. It's not confirmed, but he is. Most Disney villains are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You?
For me, there's a little part of me that wants to be a real idiot and just say it's the chief.
Right.
Because he just brings me so much joy when he's on the screen.
Mm.
There's another part of me that wants to say it's Tinkerbell because of just how iconic she is. And she is really funny as well.
She is, isn't she? She's so bitter.
But
that's why I find it funny that she's an icon, though. Because everyone's like, she's so cute.
She's
I'm
a
like,
bitch.
She's horrible.
She's horrible, yeah.
She wants Wendy to literally be
dead,
pelted at from the sky with swords and rocks and everything. Love her.
But for me...
Go on.
It's Mr. Smee.
Yeah, he's a scene stealer.
He's so funny.
He's genuinely made me, like, wheeze with laughter, which doesn't happen that often. Mr. Smee's funny.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Obsessed.
So if you didn't know what your favourite scene was...
Oh, you can tell us this.
You can definitely tell us who your favourite character is in Peter Pan.
And to be fair, they're all good, so I can't even judge you for choosing the wrong one, because there's no such thing as a wrong one in this film.
Quick mention, actually, Catherine Beaumont.
Catherine Beaumont. Wendy, darling.
Wendy.
But who... Peter...
That was good.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
She obviously was, we talked about her last year.
We did.
Last year.
It was last series.
She was the voice of Alice.
She was. Who the fuck is Alice?
It goes back to this thing where Disney did used to sign up actors for multiple films.
Yeah, like contracts, weren't they?
So, and this one was obviously the film directly after. It must have only been a two-picture.
Yeah. I mean, to do Alice and then Wendy, that's not bad, is it? They're two iconic characters.
Pretty good going.
And Wendy, I feel sorry for her. She is like a little bit like, oh, I might fancy this boy a bit. I'll go with him because he's invited me to his, like, home. And everyone there wants to kill her.
Yeah.
Everyone. Tinkerbell, the mermaids.
Peter Pan, I get it. There's a bit of charm with Peter Pan, but I, like... Everybody's so horny for Peter Pan. Aren't they? It's like, he's a little boy,
he's
mermaids.
He's a child, mermaids. Because they look older than him.
Oh, yeah. So does Tinkerbell.
They have to wear their mermaid seashells, which means they have boobs. And I don't think girls of Peter's age do.
No.
So they are perving on a little boy.
Talking of perving...
Go on.
Right. There were a couple of moments...
Where's this going?
...where I think that perhaps if this movie had been made today, one character would have been animated in a very different way. And that was Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell herself, yes.
She's
quite sexualised.
She is quite sexualised. It's almost like Betty Boop-esque.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
There were scenes like where she's in the drawer where like you're literally getting like upskirts.
You actually are.
I was like, I hadn't noticed it until this time watching it. Because, you know, when you're watching it for Disgusting Doodles, you watch it with a different head on.
Yeah. And also, we live in those sort of times where that sort of thing definitely wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
So I think it's so apparent.
I noticed for the first time in my life that Tinkerbell's underwear.
Yeah. Right? I know. Yeah, there was a full bit where she's like twerking out of the drawer.
And I've never really ever thought about it before, but I'm looking at Tinkerbell's underwear.
A little pixie's underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
so sexy.
She is.
And it's like, calm down. You could tell that there was a bunch of horny men who were behind the animation, the direction, everything.
So that's what I meant when I said talking to pervy.
Yes, you're correct.
Yes.
You're correct.
Do you have a score for characters?
Do you know, they're such a solid bunch. There is minor takeaways, I think, what you just brought up.
Mm.
The disclaimer that Disney brought up itself that we were talking about earlier. So there's some, you can't give it a 10.
There's a negative depiction of a race of people.
Yeah.
And then there's some kind of relatively sexualized, creepy stuff.
Yeah. So to me, you can't give it a 10 out of 10, as lovely as the literal whole bunch is. There's not a bad character in the piece, but I have to take some points off. So I think I'll stick with my 8.5.
Okay.
That I gave the story.
I'm going to go for an 8.
Lovely. Animation then.
Okay, so we're just looking at another old-fashioned Disney classic.
It's so lovely.
But it is just... Oh, I say this every
bloody year. It's the ultimate nostalgia, isn't it?
It really is, but what were we watching? Something else came on the telly before, or something. There was a bit of CGI on the telly that we'd seen before, and...
Was there?
I can't remember the context, but I remember comparing it to Peter Pan.
Mm.
Well, maybe it was when we were doing our countdown.
I think it was. Might have even been our number one movie, you know?
Yeah.
The
Incredibles. And I was just saying that in 50 years' time, you'll look back at The Incredibles and you'll be like, that was grim.
Yeah, or maybe it was when we were talking about Shrek.
Or Shrek,
Shrek.
But now we're 70 years on from Peter Pan now?
And it still looks...
Nearly.
Yeah.
And it still looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So there's something so timeless and gorgeous about this animation. Let's talk about a couple of the animators, because the Nine Old Men worked on this movie. Big fan of the Nine Old Men. I think everybody who is really into their Disney animation is, because they were kind of instrumental in making it what it became before it died. So Milk Carl, who did...
Milk?
Milt.
He said milk.
He needs some milk. He was the principal animator for Peter Pan and the Darling Children.
Wow.
So it was four main characters. He was upset because he really, really wanted to animate Captain Hook.
I would get that.
And he gave an interview where he said, he used the phrase, "I was outmaneuvered."
Ooh, some beef within the nine old men.
Yeah.
I love a bit of 50s drama.
Hook was animated by Frank Thomas.
Yes, I know that name.
No School Like the Old School.
No School Like the Old School.
Yeah. So Frank Thomas did Hook. And then the funniest thing was, so they had multiple different directors. They had three different directors. And one director would come in and be like, right, Frank, like, Hook's got to be really scary. He's got to be really intense. He's got to be this. And then one director would come in and be like, he's got to be really funny. He's got to be really this. And so, like, he had, like, all these different instructions as to what Hook should be like. Mm. And he was like, how do I get that all into one design? So that was his big challenge.
I think he succeeded.
I think he succeeded, too.
I mean, I said it earlier with the voice actor as well. Yeah. Covers all those layers. Hooks all of that.
But there was moments, so they had a bit of 1950s beef where some of the directors were, like, upset that they didn't have Hook their way.
Right.
When he was going through the design process. So yes. Walt Disney himself sat the directors down and told them, trust in Frank. He'll do this.
That's lovely.
Trust him. Yeah.
What an ego boost for Frank.
Yeah. and then Ollie Johnson.
That's another old school, like the old school.
Yeah, Mr. Shmi.
Oh.
And I think that's so cool that it was Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson, who are basically like, they're like the pair. They're like the famous pair.
To Captain Hook and Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah, really, really good.
I love that. So this other guy that was mad that he didn't
milk
Captain Hook,
Carl.
Does he, Milk Carton, does he get, did he ever let a slip, like, I would have done a better job, or is it just bitter?
I think it was just disappointment. The Nine Old Men, they were a unit. They were like, you know, they made so many good movies together. Milk Carl did, like, I mentioned him on the podcast before. I cannot remember off the top of my head which other characters he's animated.
Yes, but he's done stuff.
He's
from
done big
Snow White,
big deals.
Onwards. Yeah.
So you know, they're all part of like a well-oiled machine. But in any kind of work team or family, you are going to have disagreements and you are going to try and step on each other's toes sometimes.
There would be some beef.
Yeah. But yeah, the animation in this is great. Milt Carl was also heard saying that he found Peter Pan particularly difficult to animate because basically, they've spent years and years and years learning how to give characters weight and make characters look like they're making contact with the floor.
Oh, of course, and Peter doesn't have
that. Peter doesn't have that. He's weightless. He just floats around. So he said that he basically had to undo his learning process. Undo everything he'd learned.
That's so true. And doing the Darling Kids as well, like, once they fly.
Once they fly, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Tinkerbell was probably quite difficult as well, or whoever did that.
Whoever was horny enough to do that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of the nine old men, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, it is. The animation's gorgeous. What's also really, really good in this movie and really noticeable is the effects animation.
Mm-hmm.
So there would have been a whole team that worked on literally just doing pixie dust. Things
like
that.
Yeah, the dust is crazy, though.
That stuff takes as long to do as a character. Like,
it's insane.
It is crazy. And it's
so, they're like individual bits of dust. Yeah. It is mad.
And they would have all been drawn individually, and they look, they sparkle. They literally sparkle.
Yeah,
so it's
so good.
It's the same technique that they would have used for the Blue Fairy.
Of course.
I think it's just been improved.
Better.
And it's just, yeah. And this is the thing. We're still in the period where Disney are improving.
Yeah.
With their animation. Pinocchio was kind of like we've got this locked down, now we're going to do like a little bit of improvement each movie. So it's a wonderful sort of journey to watch. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 8.5 for animation.
Yeah. I think I'll agree. I've got an 8.5 theme so far. There's a bit where Captain Hook climbs up the rope ladder and it looks CG.
Yes,
and
it does.
I never know how they do it.
Yeah,
because
I don't
obviously
know how they do that either.
It wouldn't have been CG in the 50s.
No.
So I guess it was just like a moving sort of painting thing, but it like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? When
I know
it looks
the exact
like old school, you know, like the stairs in Little Mermaid?
Mm.
that's the quality CG it looks, doesn't it?
It does.
When he climbs up.
So do you have a favourite bit of animation? Favourite sequence?
Do I have a favourite animation sequence? I have to say the sword fights are very well animated.
Choreographed, basically.
Because I feel like that's actually quite a hard ask. A sword fight would be hard to choreograph in live action. But I think harder for two animators to be doing together where there's so much contact. So I think the sword fights I give a shout out to. Favourite bit of animation? I guess the whole sort of flying to Neverland sequence is a good one. Like, so particularly now you've actually hit home, it makes so much sense that animating flying people must be a challenge.
I think it's less them flying in the air and more like, you know, when she's sat on the bed and he's kind of just floating around her. But my favourite sequence of animation, or my favourite bit of animation in this, and I don't know why, but I find it so satisfying to watch, is Peter Pan's shadow.
Yeah.
I love it because it looks like it's fabric, it's material.
Yeah.
But then suddenly it's his shadow up on the wall.
Yeah.
And I have another bit, which this is just a weird markism.
Mark one. Go on.
Right. Which is the seagull's bottom.
The seagull's bottom?
Seagull's naked bottom.
Do you love it?
I love it. Not in a sexual way. I just find it really satisfying to watch Mr. Schmee shave the seagull's bottom. Right, well, if you've got a favourite sequence of animation in Peter Pan that doesn't involve bottoms.
That is up there with you wanting to eat Mike Wazowski. It's just like, do you love it? You're like, I love it.
Yeah, but you want a pixie dust Nana's ass.
No! I love, speaking of the shadow, I love that Peter, when he just goes in, just thinks a bar of soap on his foot.
It's going to stick.
It's going to stick the shadow on. That's so funny.
Okay, let's talk about music.
Pop music. Frank Churchill wrote a lot of the songs. He's been on the podcast before as a guest. Imagine. Snow White, Dumbo, Bambi, all of them.
Yeah, pedigree.
Some other people did music as well. I was very baffled by it. There was a lot of names there. But Frank Churchill stood out because I guess I've talked about him before. Mm. The melody of The Second Star to the Right, which is how it opens, was originally written for Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
That melody. There was a song called Beyond the Laughing Sky.
Right.
Which sounds like pure nightmare Alice in Wonderland shit. I don't want to know what's beyond the laughing sky.
Wait, so the melody of...
Of The Second Star to the Right was a song in Alice in Wonderland called Beyond the Laughing Sky.
Beyond the laughing sky, but there is something in the sky.
I just don't like...
The Cheshire Cat is laughing there with his grin up in the air.
Oh, Mark, you got the lyrics. Let's add in Captain Hook and Mr. Smee, gay couple of the century.
Captain Hook and Mr. Smee, gay couple of the century. Doesn't go, there's too many syllables.
There is, isn't there? Beyond the Laughing Sky sounds scary. I don't know why. I'm glad it never came. Never Smile at a Crocodile was written for this.
Was it? Because I just thought it was a song.
I just assumed Disney had taken it from a song. But I believe, from what I read, I could be wrong, so please, someone fact check me more than I do. I believe it was written by Frank Churchill for the film. It was cut from the film.
But
the soundtrack has the elements when the crocodile comes. And actually, shout out to the crocodile as a character and the animation and everything.
It's fun,
really,
isn't it?
good character.
Though. His eyes, like,
and the fact he has a theme.
His eyes do.
His
the
eyes move
twitch
with the.
Yeah.
And the fact Never Smile at a Crocodile wasn't in it, but it still, he had a theme tune.
Yeah.
It's almost like Jaws before Jaws. Yeah. And then, as we sort of already pre discussed, What Made the Red Man Red has a lot of controversy now. I say controversy, some people say controversy.
I don't know. I say I say either or, whatever I feel like.
Yeah. I'm saying both, just so everyone's happy.
As I mentioned before, I think what made the Red Man red...
I think the big issue is that it pokes fun.
Yeah, it does. It's basically trivialising an entire history of a people.
Yes.
By saying that he got kissed by a girl and blushed.
And he blushed.
And that's why he's red.
He says ugh because he saw his mother-in-law. And was like, ugh.
But it's...
no.
It's... But... musically...
Yeah, like you say, the drums.
The drums.
The drums. The instruments used is really... And in... There's nice character pieces in it as a scene.
Yeah.
It's a moment... As in terms of story, where Wendy decides she's pissed off with Peter,
yeah,
and she in that scene she makes the decision to go home. Mm. So it's quite an important scene.
It is, but going back to it musically, you think you got the drums, you got the sounds, you got all the different voices,
yeah,
and you got the like the kind of the native calls and all of that, and then you've got like how deep that chief's voice is as he's singing. It just is a really forgetting about the lyrics and forgetting what it's about, musically, it's a really, really good song.
Right.
It really is. Which is why when I thought we were going to watch it and it wasn't going to be in it, I was actually disappointed.
Yes.
Because I was like, I like the song.
Mm.
I'm trying to, you know, and this is my privilege, my straight white male privilege talking, but I detached the song from... its problems and just enjoy it as a piece of music because it's a good one.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah. But you're lucky enough to do that.
Some people can't. Some people it's hurtful.
Yeah. So it has its issues, which again means it's going to take away from the overall score of music.
Mm.
There's something really nostalgic about the Peter Pan soundtrack.
Mm.
Probably because... I had it. I had the CD of Peter Pan.
Mm.
And I watched it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has that nostalgia, which gives it huge brownie points for me.
Mm.
Nostalgia always does.
Mm.
But in the grand scheme of Disney songs, you know, not one of them makes it into my top 10.
No.
You know?
No, you're
so
right.
So it's not the best Disney soundtrack ever made. And I don't think anybody... chooses Peter. If you ask people what's your favorite Disney soundtrack, I don't think anybody says Peter Pan. So you know it's definitely not the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really, really love it. Mm-hmm. I think it's so cute. Even in terms of score, just background music, it's so up there.
Mm. Okay, so you've guessed it. One final time, tweet us. What's your favorite song?
Favorite song from Peter Pan.
Luke, what's your favourite song from Peter Pan?
I like, very on brand here, I like the Pirates song where they're trying to get the Lost Boys to sign up to Captain Hook's crew. But I also, because it's iconic, I love You Can Fly.
Yeah.
Because that's just everything from... Well, I was literally speaking the whole scene before you press record today, like you could do that whole beginning bit of just talking.
You can.
And then it goes into like the actual.
He flew!
And it goes into the song, which is just a great, lovely song. So yeah, those two, I think, for me.
For me, if it didn't have any problems, it would be What Makes the Red Man Red, but it does have problems. So I actually like Following the Leader.
That's lovely.
Which also is a really great, fun moment in the movie where he like pokes the bear and there's a rhino there and do you know what
hippo,
I mean, like a hippo,
monkeys,
basically Michael just escaping death
barely. It's so cute.
It is good. It's great.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good one actually.
Score,
I'm gonna stick to what I've given everything, but I think Peter Pan is very much an 8.5 film to Luke.
I'm gonna give it a 6.
Okay.
Legacy then.
Well,
Alice.
That was the last Disney film. We always give points to sequels, and Peter Pan, the Disney film, has one.
Yeah.
Peter Pan Return to Neverland, which is one of my favourite films of all time. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I'm going to fucking say it.
All right.
It has a whole collection of spin-off movies.
Yeah, the Tinkerbell movies.
There's like six of them.
Yeah.
And they've got like fucking like Tom Hiddleston and Kristen Chenoweth and shit in them.
Yeah.
Like it's big.
It's got a TV series.
Oh my god, yeah, Jake and the Never Pirates, where Sharon Osbourne played Captain Hook's mum. And I think, I sort of mentioned this at the beginning, I think there's a legacy of sorts that this is the Peter Pan people think of.
Yes.
Yeah. There's been so many versions. This wasn't even the original. And people say Peter Pan and people think of this one.
It was... It is getting a live-action remake.
Peter Pan and Wendy is the live-action remake. Should be coming to Disney Plus this year, apparently. Yeah. I am all for a live-action adaptation of Peter Pan because some people, I imagine, would be like, we've already had loads, why are you doing it again? But it's the thing is, like, it's based on... It's the one of those Disney things that's based... Version. Yeah, but not just that, but if anybody did it, it's based on a play.
Mm.
Whereas I think some people get confused, don't they? And they go, why are we remaking, you know, the 2003 film that Jason Isaacs was in? And it's like, we're not. Someone else is doing their interpretation of the play.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that some people, West Side Story, they're like, we've already got a great film, why do we need another one? I'm like, it's based on a stage show.
Yeah,
like,
so it's a different interpretation. It's an interpretation
of the stage show. I don't mind that more so than remakes. But obviously this is a remake of the Disney version. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you've got some casting issues. You're not a big Jude Law fan, are you?
I hate Jude Law. I'll be as blunt as possible with it. I think he's just annoying. I don't like him.
Okay.
And he's going to play my favourite character.
Yeah.
And that leaves a very awful taste in my mouth. He's already ruined Dumbledore. He might as well fucking ruin...
We got some rides at Disney as well.
We had a great time on one.
We did.
That's so random. I love the Peter Pan rides. Yeah.
Peter Pan's wearing some serious guy liner.
Yeah, he looked like Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a staple still. You go into the Disney store, something will be there with Tinkerbell. It's got video games, it's had board games, it's on Disney on Ice. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's in Kingdom Hearts. Like,
do you want to know another one? I don't know if this adds or takes away.
Go on.
But it was Michael Jackson's favourite film ever.
It was.
And he named his home Neverland.
Because of it. Oh.
Yeah, so...
I think there's a lot going for it.
I think so too.
Obviously, takeaways. The film has moments.
Negative.
That people aren't going to be comfortable with. So that does take from a legacy.
I'm thinking, right, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking six.
Six?
Six is a good score for me. I think that's what I'm going to give it.
Okay. I will up it.
Okay.
To a seven.
Okay. Just very quickly before we do some maths.
Oh, yeah.
When the movie came out, Walt Disney was actually unhappy with it.
Right.
Mostly because he didn't like the way Peter was.
Okay.
J.M. Barrie saw the movie.
Yeah.
He loved the way Peter was.
Right.
And he laughed with Disney and said to him, "You got him just right. Peter Pan is supposed to be a psychopath."
Lovely. Love that. I mean, I'm not being rude, but like, little boys are.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a little child? Yeah,
they are, aren't they?
They're psychotic.
And another quick thing. Mm. In the Disney movie, Hook is on the wrong hand.
Okay. Yes.
But that was to make the sword fighting easier. With Peter Pan. So, there you go.
I love that. You got to do what you got to do for animation.
Got to do what you got to do. Let's do some maths.
Let's.
So, you ready?
Yep.
Story, you gave it an 8.5. I gave it 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Characters, you gave it an 8.5, I gave it an 8.
Yeah.
For animation, we both gave it an 8.5.
Lovely.
For music, you gave it an 8.5, I gave it a 6. And for legacy, you gave it a 7, I gave it a 6.
77!
Nice.
Peter Pan.
That's a good score.
That's a lovely score.
I think that puts it up there maybe as one of the highest Disney scorers so far.
It could be, you know. I think our highest Disney outside of Pixar is Bambi at 75.
Right, so
Peter Pan's on our highest Disney film thus far, which I would agree with. Out of the 7 Disney films we've done, it's my favourite.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I probably had the most fun watching it, I think.
Yeah.
It is a really good film, and I'm glad we got to finally do
it.
So, season 7, we're going to follow the same...
Same studio, same time. Hopefully we'll do them all.
Hopefully. If not, we'll just do the next one.
You know how it goes next, so do we. What's next? I don't even know.
Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Porco Rosso,
okay.
Porco Rosso.
Yeah, whatever. We'll find out next week.
Studio Ghibli's always great fun because it's always completely different to Disney.
Yeah, it's so weird as well. Yeah. I love it. I mean that in the best way.
So, if you haven't been tweeting along... And letting us know what your favourites of everything are.
Bastards! Do it now.
Let us know if you agree with our score.
Ooh.
And
we'll see you next week. Studio Jib.
In the meantime, Luke, where can we find you?
Oh!
Wow.
You can find me at Lukey Reed, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Mark, where can we find you?
At actuallymjr on Twitter and at actuallymjr underscore 2.0 on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Right.
You can follow the show at Dis Doodles on Twitter and Instagram. And check out our letterbox where you have our whole list of everything.
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 Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed.
Dusted your ass.
See you next week.
Bye. Have a good time.